You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, Hoopsheads. Welcome to another episode of Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. I'm thankful for all my new listeners. You can find my work on Forbes.com, and I've been featured on BleacherReport.com as well. You can contact me via Twitter at Koji Tare, K-O-G-I-T-A-R-E, or via email at AlikoCarter11@gmail.com. I'm always down to chop it up with fans. Make sure you follow Locked On NBA and Locked On Warriors on Facebook as well as Twitter. And you can find plenty of goodies at LockedOnWarriors.com. Here's what you can expect from the pod today. We're going to do a recap of the Detroit game in the first segment. In the second segment, I'm going to take you on a fast forward throughout the rest of the schedule for December, going through Christmas, and then I'm going to talk about tonight's game against the Portland Trail Blazers in the third segment. For Tuesday, you can expect the Warrior of the Week in the second segment. Wednesday, we're going to do a statistical deep dive around the NBA. Thursday is Throwback Thursday, where I take you back in time to a Warriors moment. And Friday, I'll give you the best things I saw this week on Reddit. But today, we're doing a fast forward, so look forward to that in the second segment. And let's talk about the Detroit Pistons, because they gave the Warriors a hell of a game. 102-98, the final score. The Warriors hit 100 first, and they normally don't lose when they do that, so that was a big one. But it was the defense here that really controlled everything and allowed the Warriors to get this win. Five big blocks from Kevin Durant leading the team, and just block, it was a block party. And I love block parties. The Warriors leading the league in blocks, but it was more than that. It was the deflections, it was the rotations, and holding this very good Detroit Pistons team to 98 points. They should be commended, because the offense wasn't always there tonight. Rather, Friday night. Particularly stalwart Klay Thompson didn't have a great shooting game, 8 of 18 and 2 of 9 from 3, but I really like the 18 shots. I want him taking more shots with Stephen Curry out, so that's great. He also shot 3 of 3 from the line. Total rebounds, 4, 5 assists for a plus 6 and 21 points. Kevin Durant had an absolutely fantastic game, 12 of 23 and 3 of 6 from 3, right where we want him to be, taking shots with Stephen Curry out, and 10 free throw attempts, 9 out of 10 from the line, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, just a great overall game, 5 blocks, as I said, and only 2 turnovers. He was a plus 12 tonight, tied for the lead, along with Jordan Bell, who did so in 9.5 minutes. So Jordan Bell quietly made his presence felt in his 10 minutes off the bench. Sean Livingston got the start in this game, and did a fairly good job in 24 minutes, which is about 5 or 6 minutes more than he normally gets. But the Warriors are in a stretch of only 2 games in 9 days, so I'm sure that Sean will be getting the start again, because he'll have ample time to rest in between those games. He was 4 of 7 from the field, and 3 rebounds, 1 assist, a block, but his defense was absolutely felt. Andre Iguodala played 29 minutes. His defense was absolutely felt, and he made a 3-pointer to boot. We love it when he does that. 5 rebounds, 1 assist to go along with 3 turnovers. Only 14 turnovers for the Warriors in this game, which is very good. And, you know, it's not very good. You know, 12 is very good, but 14 is reasonable. Nobody with high turnovers. Andre and Klay Thompson took the lead there with 3. And no, you just don't want anybody turning the ball over more than 3 times. Kevin Durant's offensive rating was off the charts in this one, 127, and a defensive rating of 95. Draymond Green had a defensive rating of 90. Not a great offensive game for Draymond, but his defensive rating was absolutely phenomenal. So overall, the defensive rating was a 101.6, which is good enough to get the job done in Detroit, and the offensive rating was a 105.8, which is not where the Warriors normally are, but you're seeing everything change with Stephen Curry out of the lineup. So the reality is that I think we're just looking at a different team. We're looking at a team that's going to be a little bit tighter. They're going to turn the ball over fewer times. There's going to be fewer possessions, slower pace, and they're going to really win on the heels of their defense and Kevin Durant's brilliance, and it was beautiful. I want to talk about the Pistons for a second because they gave the Warriors a scare. Andre Drummond was a monster. 5 offensive rebounds, 12 defensive, but he only had 8 points. So they played great defense on him, and he was a minus 13 on the night. It was the bench of the Pistons that really made this a game. Langston Galloway had a great game, a plus 11. We held Tobias Harris under his averages. Avery Bradley was very good, 9 of 17 from the field for 25 points. But when you play the Pistons and you have Avery Bradley beat you, I think that's the game plan. Make Avery Bradley beat you. And he had a few big shots near the end of the game that really got his got him going, and that's where that 25 points comes from. But overall, a really good game defensively for the Warriors, keeping everybody off the glass except for Drummond, but making him a non-entity on offense. And real quick, I want to discuss something, a phenomenon that I've been seeing, which is the blocking of jump shots. KD had a blocked jump shot. Draymond Green had a blocked jump shot. And I think it's a great drinking game. You know, if you're not trying to drink too much, if you're just trying to take one or two shots in a game, take a shot whenever the Warriors block a jump shot, because you're getting all of the Warriors in on this party. Jordan Bell, Klay Thompson, Sean Livingston have all blocked jump shots this year, but Draymond is really excelling at it, and Kevin Durant seems to be getting his timing right as well. It's really hard to block a jump shot, and this is one of those moments where you want to say, I want to reward them by taking a toast. So consider that drinking game, and have fun tonight. I want to take a look at the Warriors' schedule going forward, but first I want to talk to you about sponsoring the Locked On Warriors podcast. If you're looking for men between the ages of 18 and 44 and your company is trying to get its name out there, look no further than the Locked On Warriors podcast. Our listeners are 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. So if that's your target demographic, get at me. Plus, our rates are reasonable. By all means, email me at alicocarter11@gmail.com and we'll start a conversation. And if you didn't know, Locked On Warriors is part of a network, the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On NBA, Locked On NFL, and all of your favorite teams. So by all means, subscribe to your favorite teams on the Locked On Podcast Network and check me out today on Locked On NBA, where I discuss the Warriors for a national audience. With Locked On Podcast founder and Locked On NBA host, Locked On Jazz host, and the radio voice of the Utah Jazz, David Locke. He's also speaking to the Locked On Pacers host and the Locked On Timberwolves host. So if you're wanting a taste of around the NBA action, subscribe to Locked On NBA. All right, so the Warriors have a beautiful home-heavy schedule going through December 30th. Tonight, they'll be facing the Portland Trail Blazers, which is one of the most exciting backcourts in the league, along with a top 10 defense. So you're going to be looking at trying to stop Lillard and McCollum, but also making sure that you can get points up against that back line and those rangy defenders, Al-Farouq, Aminu, along with Allen Crabbe and a few other players who make life difficult for their opponents. After that, on Thursday on TNT, it'll be the Dallas Mavericks at 7:30 Pacific at the Los Angeles Lakers on Monday, December 18th at 7:30 Pacific. I should be able to be at that game, so I'll keep you posted. I'm going to be probably doing a story on the Thompson Family Foundation for Forbes.com, so I'll let you know when that comes out. Very philanthropic family, Michael Thompson and his son Clay. They do great work down in Los Angeles and here in the Bay Area. On Wednesday, December 20th, 2017, there's going to be a home game against the Memphis Grizzlies. Then the Lakers come back into town on Friday, December 22nd at 7:30 Pacific. Then it's a rare home back-to-back with the Nuggets coming into town on Saturday, December 23rd, following that Laker game. And then, of course, the Cavaliers, who are on a winning streak and could still be on that winning streak come Christmas, will be in town at a noon start on that Christmas day. The Utah Jazz are going to be coming in on Wednesday, December 27th, followed by the Charlotte Hornets on the 29th, and the Memphis Grizzlies again on December 30th. That's a Saturday. Now, these home back-to-backs are becoming more common with the new schedule changes that the NBA front office has made. This will be the third home back-to-back that the Warriors have had, but I don't think they'll be complaining too much. The reality is that a home back-to-back where you can get to go home to your family and sleep in your own bed and then come back to the arena the next day is always going to be preferable. But this is not an easy stretch by any stretch of the imagination. You've got playoff teams besides the Mavericks and the Lakers and the Grizzlies. All of these teams are playoff teams. And so you're going to come, excuse the cat in the background. It's my roommate's cat. You are going to have to come to play because the Warriors haven't been as good at home as they necessarily have been in the past. They've already lost a number of games at home, and they don't want to continue to drop home games, especially with Houston looking like a real foe in the Western Conference. So this stretch of games is critical, and the Warriors have shown that they're a different team without Stephen Curry, as I mentioned. I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see Curry until December 25th. It's a big game, and they're not trying to rush him back. They're not trying to dominate the schedule, and they've shown that they can beat teams without him, but it's just a different game. It's a slower game. It's a little bit more... I don't want to say chippy because, you know, Steph can get chippy with the best of them, but the defense decides it a little bit more. There's not a nuclear weapon on the floor, obviously Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson are capable of going off, but it's not the same when you've got something that is driving gravity away and opening up the floor for everyone else. The offense just changes. It just becomes a little bit more, dare I say, Spursian, with Kevin Durant in that Kawhi Leonard role, making things happen and controlling things on the defensive end. There's a ton of home games to test out this iteration of the Warriors, and it should be pretty fun. They're not leaving California until January 3rd against the Dallas Mavericks. So there's going to be a ton of time to get it right. And there's six games, before that Christmas clash. I wouldn't be surprised if you see him, the Steph that is, before that. But there's no reason to rush him back. If they lose one or two games in this stretch, it's not a bad thing. It's not the worst thing in the world. But you just got to keep pace with the Rockets. The Rockets are going to be a big test for the Warriors on January 4th. And then they come back to California to face the Clippers in Los Angeles on the 6th of January. All right, let's get to the Portland Trailblazers. Damian Lillard is nursing an ankle injury but is likely to play. Yusuf Nurkic is nursing an ankle injury and will not play. And Mo Harkless is questionable. So that's three important pieces. If they can drive Lillard hard and make him work on that ankle, think of it like a WWE guy, like attacking somebody's ankle if he knows they're not injured. It's not the worst thing in the world. It doesn't make you a bad guy, but you got to make sure that you're aware, and it's like in hockey where you lower body injury or upper body injury. If you don't want people to know about it, then, you know, don't advertise it. But Dame is going to play, and he's going to probably have Klay Thompson on him, though you can expect, like I said earlier, that Sean Livingston will be starting tonight in the place of Stephen Curry. So that's 2 6-7 wings that you can put out there immediately on that very, very good backcourt of Lillard and McCollum. Damian Lillard is once again leading the team in nearly every offensive category. He is only shooting 42% from the floor and 35% from three. His numbers are down across the board efficiency-wise, but he's averaging 26 points a game. He's assisting the ball 6.3 times a game and grabbing one offensive rebound and five rebounds total. His assist-to-turnover ratio is north of two, which is a sign of being an elite distributor, and he's shooting 93% from the line on 7.2 attempts a game. He is absolutely murdering defenses. Even though his shooting numbers are down, his attacking instincts are up, and his effective field goal percentage is 50%, which is very good. CJ McCollum is taking two fewer shots. Damian Lillard is taking 19.5. McCollum is at 17.5, and he's taking 5.8 three-pointers a game, but he is knocking them down at a 44% clip, so you really have to watch out for him and run him off the line. He's only taking three free throws a game, but making 86% of them, along with 2.7 assists, 4.3 rebounds, a steal, and Dame is also averaging a steal, so you got to watch out for those guys. They'll gamble a little bit and try to get the ball out of your hands, and when they get in the open floor, you really can't stop them. So they're either going to the line and making the free throws, or they're going to get an easy basket. Al-Farouq Aminu is playing well for the Portland Trailblazers as well, and is averaging about 30 minutes a game. He's out there for his defense and his rebounding. He's averaging a block a game to go with seven boards. He's a big guy, and he's one of those guys you can switch on to smaller guys. So he's going to be a handful. No use of Nurkic tonight, so you might see Myers Leonard starting. It's unclear who's going to be the starter, but Leonard does get a lot of those minutes with Nurkic on the bench, and he could use the run. He's only averaging 11 minutes a game. Earlier, I put Alan Crabb on this roster. I was mistaken. He plays for the Nets, got a big fat contract. But he did have some good minutes when he was in Portland. But Evan Turner is one we're going to have to watch out for from Ohio State. He's found a place here. He's getting very steady minutes, and averaging 7.6 points and doing a lot of the little things. He's doing a little of the little things. He's probably overpaid, but he's going to be an important piece with Nurkic out. Another important piece without Nurkic is Noah Vonleh, who's going to be playing a lot of minutes at the four. And he's a handful defensively. He's shooting 53.7, and all those shots are like putbacks and stuff like that. He's averaging 1.7 offensive rebounds a game. Gonna have to keep him off the offensive boards. Al-Farouq Aminu is averaging more than an offensive board, and Dame Lillard is sneaking in for offensive boards as well. So that's not been something the Warriors have defended well. Even after blocks, they're allowing offensive boards after deflections and missed shots. It's just not a recipe for cutting down runs and making sure that the opponent has to work really hard for the shots they do get. For the Warriors, Patrick McCaw is still on concussion protocol, and his status for Monday is questionable. Zaza is doubtful for Monday with a shoulder injury, and Draymond is likely to play despite his own shoulder injury. We know about Steph, that ankle is going to be reevaluated in about 9 days, and like I said, we can probably expect Sean Livingston to start. Look for Klay to take more shots. eight north of 18 is what I'm hoping for and what I'm looking for against a smaller backcourt. He can really shoot over the top of their defense. Should be a great game at Oracle tonight, and that's my pod. Join me tomorrow where I will recap the game against the Portland Trail Blazers. Also, I'll be breaking down the play and history of my Warrior of the Week, and then we'll probably go around the NBA and check things out. So, tomorrow, Tuesday, looking forward to it. Stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.